Jesus Christ, our Savior, the authority of His teaching. And, pardon? Oh, Dorothy. Thank you, Dorothy. I've already put my money in it, and it's right here, and I forgot. I surely appreciate that. Our missionaries for the month are the Carrolls with Faith Scripture Ministries, and you have an opportunity to give. Last week, we gave $31. This is the second Sunday of the month, and so if we give $31 each week with fourth, that's $120 we'll have in there. So just hand it back to Larry, and then Larry can get it over, and let everybody have an opportunity to give. That's one of the funnest things we do in Sunday school, is give to our missionaries of the month. And Dorothy, thank you. Yeah. Dorothy keeps me straight. And I do not resent it. I am not offended at that. By the way, let me just interject this one little thing. Keep this ever before you. Don't forget this. Do not forget this. To be offended is the choice of the offended. I've said it over and over and over again, and I remind myself of that, and I make myself live by that. If I am offended, it's not the person's fault who offended me. It's mine because I chose to be offended. If the Lord Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who do evil against you, and so on, and I get offended at somebody, it's not what's wrong with them that's a problem. It's what's wrong with me, okay? And so when you hear people talking about, oh, he did this and he did that and he makes me mad and I don't like this and that, blah, 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 and they're offended. Well, you know there's nothing wrong with the people they're talking about from the standpoint of their problem. The problem is within them, okay? They do not have a Christ-like attitude. So that I just say that because Dorothy said, oh, no, you're not. Some people would have been offended at that. You know what? She's trying her best to offend me. Go ahead. I know. Yeah, that's right. Yep, that's right. Tell you what, if you haven't gotten to know Dorothy Wiley, you need to get to know that girl. She's a character. We love her. I have taught, I don't know how many years, Sunday school and classes, school. And I don't say this to brag, I've done it. I've taught college classes, taught music, I've taught in seminary, and thanks to you all helping voting to cover expenses, I've taught in Ukraine. And I kind of call myself a teacher. The best teacher I've ever known and the best teacher that I can be by no means compares to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of all the teachers who have ever lived, none compares to Him. He was and is the teacher of all teachers. And it is a wonderful thing to study His teaching, the manner in which He taught. Now, I've given you at the top of your outline some references. Let's just read those references as a springboard into our thoughts. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I have this in my notes here, so I'll read from my notes to save time. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. It reads this way. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The most stable life, the most secure life, the most satisfying life is a life that is built upon the person and the teaching of the master teacher. When the storms of life come, and we have saturated our minds and our hearts with who he is and what he taught, and we have spent our lives discerning what he meant by what he said and applying it to our lives and living by what he taught, the storms of life will not undo us. It won't. They won't. The difficulties of life will not take away our song. The difficulties of life will not take away the joy of the Lord from our hearts. We will see all of the difficulties of life through the perspective of our teacher when we learn of him. He said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, whoever pays attention to my teaching and lives by what I'm teaching you, that person will withstand the storms of life. His house will be on a rock. Then John chapter 8, verse 38 reads this way. Jesus is speaking, I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your Father. We won't make much comment on that, but the Lord Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. We've talked about that in other lessons. His name Emmanuel means God with us. And he was in eternity past in the bosom of the Father. And so Jesus Christ came with a message that was his own, but also was the message of God the Father, and he perfectly delivered that message. And it's available to us today. Go to John chapter 12, verses 47 through 50. And if you don't want to turn your Bibles, you can just write these references. No, you've got them on your outline. John 12, 47 through 50. And in this passage we read, and if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And again, we find these verses indicating very clearly that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, and he represented God the Father. And so, what amazing thing it is to study the teacher of all teachers. Can you think of anybody else? I know you can't. Anybody else who has ever lived, whose teachings have so influenced the world as the teachings of Jesus Christ. Not in the positive way which the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings have affected the world. There are others. We hear the Quran is in the news, and Muhammad and some of the teachings, they're multiplied millions of people who are following that. But what is the outcome of that teaching? When the Lord Jesus Christ's teachings are taken seriously and applied to our lives, They bring peace to us, and they make us people who bring about peace to others because we introduce them to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're going to see some of the ways in which he was different from the other teachers of his time and some of the unique things about his teaching as we go through this lesson today. A couple of other things that we could mention. Jesus said, let's look at a couple other verses here. Well, John 14:6, we know that verse, don't we, by heart? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Someone has said Jesus taught the truth, but he was the truth. He was the embodiment of the truth. Therefore, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ taught was of value and was trustworthy and absolutely true. He also said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he says that to people today. Come to me. Come to me for salvation. He came to die to be our Savior. But he also said in another portion of Scripture, Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, the very next verse, in fact, he said, learn of me. So we come to him for salvation, but we ought to come to him and learn of him. The best endeavor of your life, the best endeavor of my life, is to study Jesus. Study him. Study his writings. Study his teachings. Come unto me. Learn of me. And he is the incarnation of truth. And therefore, we can trust everything that he would teach us. Well, our first point in the outline is the authority of his teaching. And we're going to look at some verses here that deal with the, one verse at least, that deals with the authority of his teaching. Nobody taught with such authority as the Lord Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verse 22, we read these words, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Now, the word there for authority, it means Jesus spoke as an authority, literally. He spoke as an authority. He spoke in a way that people would not question what he said. And the manner in which he did that and how that happened, we can't explain today. We were not there. But there's a definite contrast in the way Jesus taught as a teacher and the way the other teachers that were teaching in that day taught. He spoke with authority. His teaching was contrasted to that of the scribes, who, in a sense, had no message. They doted on trivialities. Their focus was more themselves than others. They probably never spoke with conviction, and so on. But Jesus spoke as an authority. And as we speak the words of Jesus to others, and we share God's word with others, we can do it the same way. And I don't mean in a sense of getting into somebody's face. Speaking as an authority, first of all, means that we have confidence that what we are saying is absolutely, perfectly right and true. And I can assure you, Jesus had not the slightest doubt that anything he was saying was absolutely true. And you can say that which you know to be absolutely true, and people will sense that you're speaking with authority. But if you're doubting what you're saying, and you're not really convinced that it's true, your hearers will detect that as well. Yeah, sure. Now, if I believe something is true, for instance, let's just use something kind of, if I think, I'm going to think that it's green. I think Elaine's jacket is green. How many of you agree with me? It's green. Okay? All right. I think it's green. Elaine's jacket is green. Does it make it any more true if I say, Elaine's jacket is green? Is it more true? Is that more authority? No. I think that the authority with which Jesus spoke was authority because he did not have the slightest doubt that what he was saying was true. Now, that was just an off-the-cuff illustration. It may not have been a very good illustration. But the point I'm trying to get across is this. Jesus had no doubt about what he was saying. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, if we really believe that what he taught is true and we want to share it with others, if we're not convinced that it's true, it'll show up. And the people that we speak with will sense that we are not speaking with authority. I don't know if this makes sense to you or not. And we don't have to shake our heads and pound something or something to speak with authority. To speak with authority, first of all, means that I am 100% convinced that what I'm saying is absolutely true. I have no doubt. And that Jesus had no doubt. He spoke with authority. We could expand that, I think, a little bit. And maybe there's somebody who has a comment. I think we are to preach him and teach him with authority. But authority is not necessarily the manner of delivery. Authority is the attitude of the heart more so. Brother Dean, I can sense you're wanting to share something. That's true. Mm-hmm. Right. That's true. And so the authority of Christ himself was unique. And we have the word unique later in our outline. It was an authority unlike any other authority. And yet, when we study what he told his disciples in a later passage, he shared with them that they could speak as he had spoken and they could be used of God. And the reason that we can speak with authority is not because we are like Christ perfectly, but because what Pastor's been teaching about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. And so there is a sense in which we can speak with the same authority, though we have the old Adamic nature. It's kind of hard to understand. But we don't want to get ourselves so focused on that we begin to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The good that comes from your life and my life is not from ourselves, which was true of Jesus. It was from himself. He was perfectly God and holy. The good that comes from our lives is not from us, it's from him and his working in us. But the scribes did not recognize who he was, and by the time Jesus came, religion was more traditions of men than it was the holy word of God. And Jesus knew the Old Testament scripture, and we're going to discuss that too as we go along. But I appreciate that comment, and that's true. His authority was totally unique because He is the only begotten Son of God. And so there can never be anybody like Jesus. There never was, there never will be. In the exact same way that he was as a teacher, okay? But he spoke with authority. And I do believe that even people who, and I don't have to be careful saying this, but there are people who are convinced that something that is wrong is right. And because they are convinced in their heart that it is right, they speak with a type of authority. And the reason I'm saying that is because when somebody speaks with that kind of authority, they are convinced that they are right in their hearts. The human hearts of the people who hear them are more apt to believe what they say, even though they're not speaking the truth. My point in this to you is that as a believer, we, Daryl, for instance, when he talks with Richard, Daryl believes the Word of God. Daryl can speak to Richard with authority because he is convinced and believes it. And you know what? A Jehovah's Witness can speak with authority in a similar way. That's why they're growing in number, because they are convinced that they are right. They believe what they are saying. And I think that one of the problems among many Christians is they kind of believe it, but they don't really believe it 100%. And so therefore, when they don't speak with the kind of authority that comes from a person who is convinced that what they are saying is absolutely so. That makes sense? I don't. That's a sideline to the deity authority of Jesus Christ, who he was as God. Okay, I didn't mean to take this much time on this one, but okay, Brother Don? Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, it does. Point number two is the boldness of his teaching, the boldness with which he spoke. And for this, we're going to go to Matthew chapter, Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. Matthew 23, 27. I don't think I have that in my notes. I want to make sure I've got it right. Matthew 23, verse 27. Yes, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Exclamation point. "For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." Jesus was not afraid to speak the truth. And when we read something like this and we see the exclamation point, we may get the idea that Jesus spoke those words with a red face and just violently said it to them. I think very well could have said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." There you go. 5 minutes. But he was not afraid to speak the truth. And of course, Ephesians says we're to speak the truth in love. So you could get the idea that he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees," because he hated them or was mad at them. I have my doubts. He went to the cross for the scribes and Pharisees, did he not? Sure. Yeah. Brother Sam? Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's right. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true. He's the master teacher. Yeah. Yeah, he is. And we cannot teach exactly as Jesus taught. But there's some interesting things that Jesus said to his apostles and those who followed him with regard to the works that they would eventually do, which he said, "And greater works will you do than these." And I do believe with all of my heart that a person who studies Christ and really allows the Lord Jesus Christ to live his life in him can be so like Jesus that God can greatly use that person. But no, we can't be Jesus Christ. But we can be like him. But he spoke with boldness. There's another verse in John chapter 7, verse 26 says this, "But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" That's a question being asked in John chapter 7, and we could put it in context. But because he was Christ, he spoke boldly. The word boldly is there in that particular verse. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, we read these words, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And the point being, a person who is with Jesus, I'm talking about a person who walks with the Lord each day, who's into God's Word every day, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and allows Jesus Christ to be to him and in him what Jesus Christ wants to be, then that person will be like the apostles of whom they said they took note they had been with Jesus. They spoke boldly. They said they were unlearned and ignorant men, and yet they spoke boldly, and they took note of them that they had been with Jesus. So one of the two characteristics of Jesus' teaching that we have gotten to today, and we'll finish the lesson next week, and we, by the way, just scratching the surface, there's no way we can deal with the wonder of his teaching. There are books written on Jesus Christ, the teacher, and his not only the fact that he is a teacher, but his methodology and the manner in which he taught. There's so much written on that, but we're just scratching the surface. He spoke with authority, he taught with authority, and secondly, he was bold, the boldness of his teaching. Those are the two points that we got today, and we'll do 3 through 7 next Sunday, the Lord willing, and I'll give you the rest of them. So, be back. I'm going to dismiss you. It's on time. Trying to be a good boy and let you out on time. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Hey, folks, Bob just shared $54 came in today for the missionary of the month. So praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Yep. Mm-hmm.